Today we are going to a very encouraging passage of the scripture, which is on Philippians 1, verse 1 to verse 7. And we will spend most of our time, particularly in verse 6. Open with me Philippians 1, verse 1 to verse 7. I'll read it. Say it. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chain and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partaker with me of grace. Paul, let's pray. Thank God for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the sureness of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the word is true. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we do have of building our life daily according to your word, God. And thank you, Father, for your Son, Lord, for saving us. And Father, we pray, Lord, for your Spirit, Lord, to be with us here now as we are opening your word, to help us to understand this passage and to be able to apply it in our life. In Jesus' name I thank and pray. I thank you and pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Apostle Paul established this church in his second missionary journey with Silas. That was about AD 49 and 52. By the help of God, the Holy Spirit, Paul was used by God to establish this church in the book of Acts in chapter 16, as we can go there and read a few verses, how things went, what happened. And so I'll start with verse 6, just a brief information. Say that now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a region appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us, meaning Paul, to go to preach the gospel to them. And therefore here, there's a story where he went to this place in Macedonia. That's where the city of Philippi was. Philippi. The city of Philippi was a city in the eastern Macedonia, which was established by Philippians II in 356 BC, and it was abandoned in the 14th century after the conquest of Ottoman. Someone conquered the city. So the present municipality of Philippi is located near to the ruins of the Asian city, and it is part of the Eastern Macedonia in Greece at this time. So Paul went there and he came across a woman. Her name was Lydia. She was, I think you remember, she used to work with purple. And she was, and Paul went to this place where usually they say by the river, people will go there, Jewish people will go there just for prayer. And Paul went to that area and he came across this woman. And God, the Bible says that God opened her eyes when he was sure listened to Paul. And she received the gospel. And Paul, the same thing he did in that city was, there was a woman who was demon-possessed, a girl who was a slave. He used to use her as a fortune teller. And his master was making a lot of money in that area. But this woman, speaking the truth, although it was demonic stuff, but he was able to do that. And when Paul was there, this woman will follow Paul around and she will be speaking, saying that this is the man who tell the truth about the gospel. And Paul said that after many days, Paul was displeased. He was upset. He didn't like that. So he turned toward her and said, come out of her. And immediately, the demons, the bad spirit came out of her. And what happened after that is, the owner of this slave woman, they didn't like that. And I think they are kind of powerful, because they made a lot of money through that woman and they're well known. So they are able to talk against Paul and make an arrangement, and Paul was taken to prison and be beaten because of that. So I can see that, how that God was doing a wonderful work in Paul, but at the same time, yeah, that was, he went through trouble just because of doing what is right. You know, but he was in prison, and then after that what happened is he was in prison, him and Paul and Silas. And at night, they start singing and praising God. And prison guys, leaders, God will listen to them. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that one day at the singing and praying, there's an earthquake. And all the prisoner shackles with the chain come fall off. And the guard was sleeping. And when the guard woke up, and they saw that all the doors are open, and the guard, prisoner guard went and reached out for the knife to kill himself, but Paul hurry up and say, don't do that, you know, we're all here. And and that guy went immediately to Paul and followed his kneels, and because he had heard Paul preach, speaking about the gospel, and he asked, what can he do to get saved? And Paul said he has to believe him in his household, and he did that, and they're all saved. But then after that, what happened is, this news were known among the leaders in that city, and they proceed by telling Paul that, okay, they can let them go. So they send a message to him, but Paul refused because they found out that Paul was a Roman citizen, and they just took him to prison and beat him without even taking him to trial. So Paul used that against them, and they got afraid, and he commanded them to come to him personally. So they came to him in prison, and they just begged him, please, you know, we don't want any problem with Rome, so please just go. And Paul came out and as well out, but he went by his people, I think it was Lydia and all other people, the church is established there, and then he kept going to his journey. And as I was reading this chapter, I found out that these people are very helpful to Paul. As he was going, they even contribute money to support him. And they are the only church that they did that. You know, so God used Paul in a mighty way through miracles and, I mean, amazing way to establish this church. Now, 10 years later, Paul was in Rome and he was in prison in Rome, and he wrote a letter to them, this letter to Philippians. And this letter, as I read it, just reflect a lot of about how Paul, the relationship Paul has with this church, and how that how every remembrance of them was able to cause Paul to bring him to a point of praise to God and thanksgiving and joy because of the history he has with this church, and knowing that this church, they have been continuing in the fellowship of the gospel. They are participating. So this is the church which was living in the simple, active obedience of the word of God. You know, and Paul wrote this letter to encourage them. And again, as we will go here on verse, we'll go now back to this verse. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was confident in God that God for them, and he wanted them to have the same confidence that the God they have entrusted their life to, he is faithful God, and he will complete in the he'll complete in them what he has begun to them. Again, verse 6 says that, be confident of this very thing, that he, that is God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has begun a good work in them, and this is the same to all the history of Christians, even to us in this room, that God has begun a good work in us, and that means that God does, as God begin this good work in us, this good work is in three parts. What I have learned on this, that the work of salvation which God does for us, and the work of the sanctification which God does in us, and the third part is the Christian life that the Holy Spirit lives through us in doing Christian service, as we know that God works through us to reach other, to become light, we spread the gospel, we speak for God, we do that stuff. God uses our lives to do that. Not with me, that God like what he does in our life. Again, in verse 6, he named what he does as a good work. The word work means an active work, means that to labor or an effort directed to produce or accomplish. And the word good here means it's a moral excellence or righteousness. God cannot do a bad work. All he can do is good. In Old Testament, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 73:1, truly God is good to Israel, to such as in a pure heart, to his people, meaning that it can be translated that the only good is God to his people. And I like this concerning Jesus too. In the New Testament, in the book of Mark 7:37, it says that, you don't have to go there, but it says that after the multitude of people observed him, they were astonished beyond measure, and they say, he, meaning Jesus, has done everything well. Yeah. You know? And so, what is that good? Now, the question come down to, what is that good work that he does in us? You know? In the doesn't us, and therefore I find out that the good work that God does in us is to conform us to the image of his son. I've had this here over and over again in every people preaching, they're talking about the same thing. You know, but that's the truth about God, that he conforms us in the image of his son. Now, after I've read this, I can tell you that this is the good work, because there's nothing can top this. You know, and there's nothing far better than this, and there's nothing can desire. And there's no way we can even get this to be transformed in the image of the Son. Apostle Paul wrote to Romans 8:28-29, saying that, and we know that we know that God caused all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those who God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he, Jesus, will be the first among many brethren. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, even in the limited revelation of Jesus Christ, King David the psalmist wrote in Psalm 17:15, he said that, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I walk in your likeness." So you can see how the Holy Spirit was working, and the what God has for his children from the first beginning. Now, Apostle John, in John 1, chapter 3, verse 2, he wrote that, "Love now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he, Jesus, is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." See, this is the good work to be desired. And God takes every portion of our life, bit by bit, day by day, to confirm us in the image of Christ. I have a second section of this lesson is, God always finish what he has started. Also note with me in verse 6, there's two great words, begin and complete, or perfect, we can say that. I repeat, God always finish what he has started. That is the wonderful things to know. No one get saved and God came to a certain point in our life, Christian walk, and say, "I wish I never get involved with that." Mm-hmm. No. We love to change lives, to make us like Christ, regardless of our past, present, and the future sins. It is encouraging to know that he knows our past, present, and future, and he chooses to save us anyway. So God can not get discouraged, or he cannot lose interest, or move on to do some important things, or to deal with important people. He don't do that. He can't do that, because he knows what he was getting when he decided to serve us. He knows exactly what he was getting, and he's faithful to accomplish what he has planned. You know, we are all unrighteousness, and the Bible says that, and therefore, regardless of our title or our position, we all need God's help. And God loved us so much to a point that where he gave his only begotten Son for us to die at the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, so we can have a confidence that God will accomplish what he has started in us. Of the third section, we say that we know we have to be absolutely confident. And Father, God tells us in this verse to have a full confidence. The word confidence here means to be full of conviction, absolutely certain, or having a showing assurance and self-reliance to him. The reason we can be confident is that the God we have served is sovereign. That means he is almighty. He is not mostly mighty or half mighty. He is almighty. He is the only one can have this title in the entire universe. This means nothing is too hard to him to rule and overrule in our life, to make sure that his will and his purpose is done in our life. Now, how can we have this confidence in this fallen world? We can have this confidence by coming to God with prayer and faith, and bring all of our requests to him and say that I want things to go this way and that way, but if it's not going to happen, let your will be done. Because the reality is, to all of us, even in my personal life, I have experienced a lot of failure. I do have a lot of expectation and they don't come through, and I disappoint myself all the time. And that's the reality. People, we go through problems in even in the educational system. you plan to do this, to become this, and things doesn't happen the same way. And sometimes life becomes sour, and we become distressed, and we hate life, and sometimes we can even get people, some people get to a poor place where they get mad, we get mad to a God, to get to a God himself. And so that's a very bad position to be on. But I do think that if we can surrender our life to God and come to God by prayer and faith and the ability to read the Bible, and we do have that ability, and believe God and bring our request to him and ask him for his guidance, and even say, God, you know what is best for me, just take over, you know, and to live in the simple obedience, we'll have a freedom and the joy to be able to live this life. Because here, as I was reading this very chapter, in this passage, is Apostle Paul was the one who was writing this letter to this church in Philippi. And by the time he was writing this letter, Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome. And I assure you, it was tough. But Paul was a man of faith. Just like us, we have a privilege today to become men of faith. And Paul, he can look back to the story of David. He can look back to the story of Abraham. He can look back to Moses. He can look back to Esther. How that he said, at a certain time in their life, things were not, they didn't look right. I mean, they didn't know what to do, but they trust God. And as they gave God enough time and walk obedience with him, God, at the right time, he was able to do abundantly and exceedingly and more than they can even imagine. And I believe that can be the same to us. As we know, we have the history and knowledge of our God. We can trust God. And therefore, all this can be done, and it can be done, again, I repeat, by us surrendering our life to God. Because I can remember the great story of surrender, the greatest of all, was when our Lord Jesus was at the cross, he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was going through difficult, the Bible says his soul was distressed, and he asked Father, his Father said, you know, Father, you can do all things, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But Jesus said, nevertheless, let your will be done. And I know, and we know that, we know what was the will of Father was. The God's will was for his son to go at the cross, to be hanged on the tree, to take the punishment of our sins, and we can testify of that will today, and we are Christian, and we are saved, and we have a hope because of what God has done for us. So, I can finally finish by saying that we can have a full confidence in God because of what God has done for us in our life. And in that, I will go to God in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you, Lord, for the history that we know and what you have done in the past, Lord, and the promise we have in you, Father. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, whom you have given to us, Lord, help us, Father, to trust in your word, God, and to be obedient to you, Lord, and so that, Lord, all the promises we have in the gospel, Lord, and the encouraging word of being confident, Lord, it can take place in our life this time in the profitable way, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time of being here and listening to gospel from this man, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will strengthen us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to become more and more like your son, Jesus. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. I thank you. Amen.